الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فهذا درس في التفسير، ولقد اخترنا ولله الحمد الكتاب الجليل تيسير الكريم الرحمن في تفسير الكلام في تفسير كلام المنان للشيخ العلامة عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى. وكنا قد وصلنا في الأسبوع الماضي إلى آية رقم 15. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله، أهلا وسهلا بالمتأخرين. كنا قد وصلنا إلى الآية رقم 15 عفوا على الكلام اللبناني، ولله الحمد والمنة في ذلك. والآن بإذن الله سوف نكمل ما سييسر لنا بإذن الله من الآيات ومن التفسير. And بارك الله في الجميع. Basically we made it up to verse number 15, and today there will be a continuation of what we have finished already based on the book that we chose. Inshallah ta'ala, everybody open your noble Quran to Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 15, and have a paper and a pen in order to take down notes. Ahlan wa sahlan. So we were at the statement of Allah Jalla wa Ala. We finished verse 14, ya akhwan, or we didn't finish verse 14?
Finished.
We finished it, huh?
We
started with 15. طيب. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ اعتزلتموهم وما يعبدون إلا الله فأووا إلى الكهف ينشر لكم ربكم من رحمته ويهيئ لكم من أمركم مرفقا. This is 16. Did we do 15? So the end of 15 basically says لولا هؤلاء قوم اتخذوا من دونه آلهة. وعليكم السلام. So the end of the verse basically says لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا. And we have mentioned most of this. Then the Shaykh said لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين أي بحجة وبرهان على ما هم عليه من الباطل ولا يستطيعون سبيلا إلى ذلك، وإنما ذلك افتراء منهم على الله وكذب عليه، وهذا أعظم الظلم. ولهذا قال فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا. And had they only brought clear evidence for their position, which is setting up other gods with Allah. And the Shaykh says meaning to bring an evidence or a proof that explains what they are upon from falsehood. And the Shaykh said that they will never be able to do that because this is nothing but lies against Allah, which is to claim that Allah has other gods. What the people of the companions of the people of the cave, the tribe of the people of the cave had taken besides Allah other gods. So they say to one another, if they only bring a proof, يعني أنت, you come and tell the people, look man, there's two gods. There's a God, because there's a God in the heaven, you know, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and then there's another God, this statue over here. طيب. Then you tell this person, no problem. Now give me the evidence. Prove to me. I don't have a problem accepting. If you prove it to me, prove to me that this statue is another God. He will not be able to do so. Where is he going to get this information from? Well, my dad told me so. So, and that's not an evidence, man. You need to give me something real. Let me see the statue create. Let me see him sustain. Let me see him move. Let me see him, if I want to punch him, stop me. If this statue cannot do anything, and you just saying it's a God, you can't accept this claim unless you bring evidence. So these people of the cave are saying, these are people, man, are crazy. They've taken other gods besides Allah. Why don't they bring an evidence? They cannot. That's why Allah says, فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Who is more oppressive than the one who fabricates a lie against Allah? Which is an indication that anytime somebody claims that there's another God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he has automatically fabricated a lie. Because there's no God but one God, and this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And this is the only way somebody will go to paradise, with La ilaha illallah. even in the previous messengers and prophets. The only key to paradise has always been La ilaha illallah. No God worthy of worship but Allah. Never been multiple gods. Multiple gods never will allow anyone to paradise. Only the belief in the one God. The multiple gods, the shirk is the number one reason why people enter the hellfire. Shirk. Setting up partners or so-called equals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or claiming he has children and things along these lines. Verse 16. In case you're interested, وَإِذْ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. Mr. Ali Al-Ajlani, kindly read the translation, interpretation of the meaning. Verse 16 in English, please.
And when you withdraw from them,
louder.
And that which they worship, except Allah,
yes.
Receive the view in the cave, your Lord will not be away from your form, mercy, and will make easy for you appear.
Jazakallahu khairan. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله أي قال بعضهم لبعض إذا حصل لكم اعتزال قومكم في أسلامكم وأديانكم فلم يبقى إلا النجاة من شرهم والتسبب بالأسباب المفضية لذلك لأنه لا سبيل لهم إلى قتالهم ولا بقائهم بين أظهرهم وهم على غير دينهم. Yes, anybody needs anything at interpretation of this particular verse? As the brother mentioned, that they spoke to one another, they said, okay, look, after we abandon our people in our physical bodies and our religion, we are leaving our people in two ways. The physical disattachment by moving away from them and staying in the cave, and the religious disattachment by being upon Islam while they being upon disbelief. So there's two kind of disattachment between the people of the cave and their people. Physical one by running away, and a religious one by not going back to the religion of their people, rather staying upon the Tawheed and the Islam and submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the only thing that is left is for them to be saved from their evil and following the reasons that will lead to that, because they have no ability to fight them and they have no ability to reside among them because they're small in number. Remember we said إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ. And the Shaykh mentioned that because of the term fitya, it's an indication that they are less than 10. So these 10 brothers cannot fight their people who are disbelievers. So they have to withdraw from them. And they cannot live among them. Because these people, they're not going to live among them. They will kill them unless they go back into their religion. We will see later on in the verses why. فَأُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ أَيْ إِنْضَمُوا إِلَيْهِ وَاخْتَفُوا فِيهِ. فَأُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ meaning join the cave and hide in it. يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. As the brother mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show mercy for you and He will facilitate your affairs. وَفِيمَا تَقَدَّمْ أَخْبَرَ أَنَّهُمْ دَعُوهُ بِقَوْلِهِمْ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. And he said, the Shaykh mentioned that earlier, in the earlier verses, Allah told us that when they first entered the cave, they said, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. Oh Allah, grant us from you mercy. وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. And facilitate to us from our affair guidance and the right decision making. Now, so the Shaykh said, فَجَمَعُوا بَيْنَ التَّبَرِّ مِنْ حَوْلِهِمْ وَقُوَّتِهِمْ وَالْإِلْتِجَاءِ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي صَلَاحِ أَمْرِهِمْ. So they combined two qualities. Quality number one is that they freed themselves from self-dependence. Meaning they did not depend on themselves in removing this harm, because they know that they have no strength and no ability. Rather, they turn towards Allah. And the second thing is that they turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify their affairs. وَبَيْنَ الثِّقَةِ بِاللَّهِ أَنَّهُ سَيَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ وَدُعَائِهِ بِذَلِكَ وَبَيْنَ الثِّقَةِ بِاللَّهِ أَنَّهُ سَيَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ. And by, while supplicating to Allah and being confident that Allah will grant them their request. وَهَيَّأَ لَا جَرَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ نَشَرَ لَهُم مِّن رَحْمَتِهِ وَهَيَّأَ لَهُم مِّنْ أَمْرِهِمْ مِرْفَقًا فَحَفِظَ أَدْيَانِهِمْ وَأَبْدَانِهِمْ وجعلهم من آياته على خلقه ونشر لهم من الثناء الحسن ما هو من رحمة بهم من رحمته بهم ويسر لهم كل سبب حتى المحل الذي ناموا فيه كان على غاية ما يمكن من الصيانة. ولهذا قال the Sheikh said and as it has become apparent that Allah indeed has bestowed His mercy upon them and has facilitated their affairs and He protected their religion and their physical and their bodies and He made them from the signs among the signs of His creation and He spread for them the good remembrance and the reason and the proof for that is that we are sitting right now, Allah knows how many thousands of years after this incident, speaking about these brothers. And we feel that we love these brothers, right? You feel that you love them because they were people who were Muslims and who had to run away from the oppression of their people who wanted them to become disbelievers. So we have something in common with them. So even with all these years that's passed, people like us and people before us and people after us will be coming here speaking about this. So much so that every Friday, the Muslims read the story of the people of the cave. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is from the mercy of Allah to them. That their remembrance has stayed behind although their story happened thousands of years before. And the Shaykh said, and this is all from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the place where they slept in, even the place where they were sleeping, it was in the utmost maintenance. It was maintained, it was highly maintained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah says, وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِي وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. Abdul Hadi, kindly read, Habibi, verse 17.
And you might have seen the sun when it rose, declining to the right from their cave. And when it ceased turning away from them to the left, while they lay in the midst of the cave, that is one of the ayah of the proofs, evidence, and signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, he is the rightly guided. But he whom is seen astray, for him you will find no way, guidance, friends, to lead him to the right path.
Barakallahu feek. قال الشيخ رحمه الله أي حفظهم الله من الشمس فيسر لهم غارا إذا طلعت الشمس تميل عنه يمينا
يمين.
ها؟
يمين.
يمينا يس وإذا غربت أوكي حبيبي the verse in the Quran says اليمين
right.
Yes but grammatically depending on where the sentence falls it may become يمينا which ends with Alif Tanween. You may have not learned this with Dr. Yahya. Yes, no, Ya Akhwan. Yameen is the way it came in the Quran. The word Yameen could be Yameenu, Yameeni, Yameena, Yameenan, Yameenin, ila akhrihi. Now we're reading the tafsir. So in the tafsir, the location of the word grammatically ends with a fatwa, with an Alif. So you say Yameena. But in the Quran it came as Yameen. So I'm reading it correctly, is what I'm saying. And the way it came in the Quran is based on the position of the word in the sentence, grammatically. You know what I'm saying? Like you say, al-baytu, al-baytu it ends with a dhamma. Fil-bayti, because fi came in, it becomes kasra. So you may be reading it as a baytu in the Quran, but when you read in the tafsir, he used the word fi first, you have to say fil-bayti. See what I'm saying? Nah. أي وتميل عنه يمينا عنهم يمينا وعند غروبها تميل عنهم شمالا فلا ينالهم حرها فتفسد أبدانهم بها. The Shaykh said and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved them from the sun. So he facilitated for them a cave in which when the sun rises it shifts away from them towards the right. And when it sets it shifts away from them to the left. So then the heat of the sun does not touch them as to not to ruin their bodies. طيب. So even the way the cave was located and the way the sun when it rises and it sets it would not stay, it would not be up on them. When it will, you know, the person is sleeping, these people were sleeping for 300 some years. So their bodies had to be maintained and they cannot possibly be exposed to the sun and then not exposed to the sun which will affect them. And it will cause them to be sick and things along these lines. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them from the sun by locating them in this particular cave. وهم في فجوة من أي من الكهف أي مكان متسع، وذلك ليطرقهم الهواء والنسيم ويزول عنهم الوخم والتأذي بالمكان الضيق، خصوصا مع طول المكث، وذلك من آيات الله الدالة على قدرته ورحمته بهم وإجابة دعائهم وهدايتهم حتى في هذه الأمور. ولهذا قال: من يهدي الله فهو المهتد، أي لا سبيل إلى نيل الهداية إلا من الله، فهو الهادي المرشد لمصالح الدارين. The Sheikh said, meaning هم في فجوة منه, meaning from the cave. They were in a spacious location in the cave. The cave was actually big. He says, and the reason why is in order for the wind, to easily flow through the cave. And that way, harm would be removed of them, particularly with the small tight places. And if you stay in a place for a long time, like right now, if we are all in one room, and we stay here for days breathing and breathing and breathing, like continuously, the it will no longer be the same. There will be some, you will be suffocate, and there will be some sort of, people will feel claustrophobic. I don't know what the expression is, but because we're tight, when you're stuck somewhere tight, you no longer, it will affect you physically, versus when you are in a spacious place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put these brothers in a spacious cave, big cave, in order for the wind to freely blow and run in, and so for them not to be in a tight place, for because they were going to be there for 300 something years. So being in a tight place might cause damage to their physical bodies. So by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were in a spacious cave as a mercy from them. And this is all an indication that Allah has showed mercy to them, accepted their supplication, and has guided them. Even in these affairs, this is why Allah says, and verily whomever Allah guides, then he is the rightly guided. Meaning, there is no way to attain guidance except it is from if it is from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides, the one who leads people to the truth, in terms of both abodes, that of this world and that of the hereafter. And this is something important. I mean, of course everybody here knows, but when we give da'wah to our non-Muslim family members, we have to understand that at the end of the day, all we can do is convey the message of Islam. As for the actual guidance, this is from Allah. And Allah only guides those who want guidance. So when a person doesn't want guidance, he will not be guided. So there's many elements involved. There's your job in conveying the message properly. There's the person's willingness to accept the truth. Then the guidance has to come from Allah for all this happen for somebody to become a Muslim. It's not like some random things where each one is independent of the other, but they're all related. So we have an obligation, and they have an obligation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that He will guide those who seek guidance. And those who do not want any guidance, then they will be allowed to go astray. Unless they decide to change back, then out of the mercy of Allah, He guides them again. Even if they've turned away from the truth in the beginning. Unless they have done some extreme things, then this is, Allah is more wise and knows who's deserving of what. But the principle here is, as Allah says in this verse, and so whomever Allah guides is the rightly guided. And the continuation of the verse, وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيَّ مُرْشِدًا. And whomever Allah misguides, أَيْ لَا تَجِدَ مَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُ وَيُدَبِّرُهُ عَلَى مَا فِيهِ صَلَاحِهِ وَلَا يُرْشِدُهُ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَالْفَلَاحِ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ حَكَمَ عَلَيْهِ بِالضَّلَالِ وَلَا رَدَّ لِحُكْمِهِ. Meaning, you will not find anyone who will handle his affairs, or he will take his wilaya, he will become his close companion in that which is beneficial for him. And nobody will be able to guide him to the success and to goodness, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared that he will be among the misguided people, and no one can reject the ruling of Allah. No one can change the ruling of Allah. If Allah decides that a person is to be misguided because they are not deserving of guidance, no matter what we do, no matter how much money we spend, no matter what kind of material you give, if Allah has decreed that these people will not be guided because they're no good, they do not want any guidance, we will be unable to do anything. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who single-handedly arranges and judges in all of these affairs. Now, the verse continues of verse 18. وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ لَوْ اطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا. Anybody would like to read the translation of the interpretation of the meaning in English? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Habibi.
And you would have thought them away, whereas they were asleep. And we turned on their right and on their left side, and their dog stretching forth his two forelegs after washing. And you happen upon them, you will certainly have turned back from them in flight, and will certainly have been filled with our joy.
Barakallahu fiqh. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله وتحسبهم أيقاظا وهم رقود أي تحسبهم أيها الناظر إليهم كأنهم أيقاظ والحال أنهم نيام. قال المفسرون وذلك لأن أعينهم مفتحة أو منفتحة لئلا تفسد فالناظر إليهم يحسبهم أيقاظا وهم رقود. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you look at them and you think that they are awake while they are asleep. The Shaykh said, meaning you, a person whomever is observing them, had you seen them, you will think that they are up, but they are actually asleep. Some of the Mufassireen, some of the interpreters of the Qur'an said, and the reason why, because their eyes were open. Their eyes were open in order for them not to go bad. Because maybe if you close your eyes for so many years, you know, if you sleep only one night, you wake up, you have these little things between your eyes. You know what they call it in Lebanon, Armushi. Ayamuta in Tagalog, that's right, I remember that one. Anyways, everybody calls it something. And usually this is because of the liquid that is secreted by the eye. So if you were to close your eyes for 300 years, chances are you might not be able to open them when it's done, because you would have accumulated maybe a bunch of this stuff. So by the mercy of Allah, the eyes remain open in order for the eyes not to go bad. That's why when a person looks at them, you think that they're awake, but they're actually in deep sleep. وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهَذَا أَيْضًا مِنْ حِفْظِهِ لِأَبْدَانِهِمْ لِأَنَّ الْأَرْضَ مِنْ طَبِيعَتِهَا أَكْلُ الْأَجْسَامِ الْمُتَّصِلَ بِهَا فَكَانَ مِنْ قَدَرِ اللَّهِ أَنْ قَلَّبَهُمْ عَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ يَمِينًا وَشِمَالًا بِقَدَرِ مَا لَا تَفْسُدُ الْأَرْضُ أَجْسَامَهُمْ والله تعالى قادر على حفظهم من الأرض من غير تقليب ولكنه تعالى حكيم أراد أن تجري سنته في الكون ويربط الأسباب بمسبباتها. الله أكبر الله أكبر. The Shaykh said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, he made them turn to the right and to the left. And the reason why, because this is also a means of protection to the bodies. Because the earth is known for consuming that which is on it. If they remain on the earth for this number of years, the earth might just eat them up. And that's why they have, you know, this you know, when an animal dies, then eventually you find the fossils of the animals and what have you, because the earth has the ability to suck that which is upon it. So Allah decreed that they will be turned to the right and to the left, in order for the earth not to consume them and not to consume their body. And now the Shaykh says, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to protect them from the earth without the need of having them to turn around. Who commands the earth? Yeah, if the earth is going to consume a body, it's by the will of Allah. It doesn't do it independently, right? It's by the will of Allah. If Allah willed, He would have simply commanded the earth to leave them alone. But the Shaykh said, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hakim, is wise. And he wanted the sunnah, meaning the ways of his creation, to remain consistent alongside with the miracle that he gave them. Yani he did not change what he has decreed from the regular affairs of the son of Adam. So he wanted to preserve them. Allah could, if he will, to preserve them with the command to the earth, period. But Allah wanted the usual way of life to be maintained, and for that to be the reason for the protection. So he made them turn to the right and to the left in order for the earth not to consume them. Otherwise, Allah could have done what he done with Ibrahim. What did he do with Ibrahim? Ya naru kuni bardan wa salam O fire, be a source of coolness and safety upon Ibrahim. And they throw Abraham in the fire as if nothing happened. He was sitting there like, well, no heat, no pain. Allah commanded the fire is no longer affected. The fire only burns because Allah allows the fire to burn. If Allah tells the fire not to burn, it's not going to burn anything. So that could have been done. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted His usual affairs in His world to be consistent, alongside with preserving them. And this is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَعَيْهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ And their dog have their front legs stretched out. أي الكلب الذي كان مع أصحاب الكهف أصابه ما أصابه من النوم وقت حراسته. The Shaykh said, and the dog who was with them in the cave, with the people of the cave, he was also afflicted with the sleep that they were afflicted with while he was guarding them. So he was stretching his arms in the front, meaning at the door. طيب and وهذا حفظ هذا حفظهم من الأرض وأما حفظهم من الآدميين فأخبر أن حماهم بالرعب الذي نشره الله عليهم فلو اطلع عليهم أحد لم تلأ قلبه رعبا وولى منهم فرارا وهذا الذي أوجب أن يبقوا كل هذه المدة الطويلة وهم لم يعثر عليهم أحد مع قربهم من المدينة جدا والدليل على قربهم أنهم لما استيقظوا أرسلوا أحدهم يشتري لهم طعاما من المدينة وبقوا في انتظاره فدل ذلك على شدة قربهم منها ما شاء الله تبارك الله. So anyways, the Sheikh said, and Allah protected him from the ground, and then Allah also protected him from the children of Adam, from humans. So Allah told us that He had protected them through fear that He has put in the people's hearts from them. So had anybody looked upon them, as Allah says, his heart would be filled with fear from looking at them, and he would run away. And this is what allowed them to stay in the cave for such a long time. They were in the cave for 300 and some years, and nobody was able to see them, and nobody was able to discover them. And the Shaykh said, although they were very close to the city. Now who knows why they were close to the city? What's the evidence that they were close to the city? This cave, ya akhwan, it wasn't like the travel of 2 days. This was a close cave to the Medina, to the city. Who knows the evidence from the verse? Not this verse, the verses that come later. You know it because I said it in the Arabic, ya Ali. Look at the understanding of the mashayikh, man. Look when you read the tafsir of the shuyukh in Islam. Some people, man, with big brains. He said, the indication that they are close to the city is that later on in the story, as we will come, when they woke up, they gave the money for one of them, said, go to the city, get us some food. And they waited for him. He said, had the city been far, they would not be sending somebody to go get them food and wait for them. They would all go together. If you sit in there, say, go get us some sandwich from the buffet, get two bed and come back, it's an indication that the distance is close. He go get the food and come back. The fact that they told the person later on, here's some food, go get, here's some money, go get us some food and come back, is an indication that they were close to the Medina. They were close, not the Medina Munawwara. Medina is any city. Yeah, that's Arabic. In Arabic, Medina is the city. Medina Munawwara is that of the city of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, this is an indication that they were close. And although they were close, they were not discovered for this long number of years. And this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them. Allah then Azza wa Jal says, Wallah, wallah. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Enter, Mr. Late People. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ قال قائل منهم كم لبثتم قالوا لبثنا يوما أو بعض يوم ألو قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم فابعثوا أحدكم بورقكم هذه إلى المدينة فلينظر أيها أزكى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه وليتلطف ولا يشعرن بكم أحدا. Can somebody kindly read verse number جميل نومانو 19 حبيبي.
Likewise we awaken them from their long deep sleep that they might question one another. A speaker among them said, How long have you stayed here? They said, we have stayed perhaps a day or part of a day. They said, your Lord alone knows best how long you have stayed here. So send one of you with a silver coin of yours to the town, and let him find out which is the good lawful food, and bring some of that to you. And let him be careful, and let no one know of you.
Jazakallah khair. Barakallah fiik ya zameen. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وكذلك بعثناهم من نومهم الطويل ليتساءلوا بينهم أي ليتباحثوا للوقوف على الحقيقة من مدة لبثهم. Allah said, and such we have sent them forth, يعني made them wake up from their sleep in order for them to question one another. And what is the questioning here? Is it a quiz or what? The objective of the questioning is for them to find out how long have we been in escape. How long? And this happens to us. Sometimes when you travel and you go with your family or you have somebody with you in the hotel and you wind up sleeping because you were so tired, then when everybody wakes up, everybody's looking at each other, hey, how long have you been asleep? What's today? What's today's date? This is natural. People want to find out, okay, what? How long have we been here? Maybe we missed our second flight. Maybe we missed the free breakfast at the hotel. Maybe we missed something. So people question one another to find out the time. So inevitably, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them forth and made them wake up from their sleep, first for them to recognize what Allah has given them. Because once they discover what happened to them, then they will understand what kind of mercy they received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال قائل منهم كم لبثتم قالوا لبثنا يوما أو بعض يوم. A questioner, a speaker among them said, how long have you stayed? They said, maybe a day or part of a day. Because when you sleep, when you are asleep, you cannot really count. You do not have the feeling of value of time. You are asleep, everything is the same to you. That's why sometimes when you sleep 20 minutes, it's as if you slept all night. You feel the same way. You may still be tired, but while you sleep, you don't know how long you slept. You have to actually look at the time. So, oh, subhanAllah, I only slept for half an hour. You don't know how long you slept because you're asleep. And this is the same thing with them. So they said a day or half a day. وهذا مبني على ظن القائل وكأنهم وقع عندهم اشتباه في طول مدته فلهذا قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم. And he said, basically, when one of them said, this is maybe we stayed for a day or part of the day, he said, this is based on the assumption of the speaker. This is what he assumed. And as if after he said that, they had an issue. They were not really convinced about the amount of time that they remained. This is why they said, قَالُوا رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ. They said, verily, your Lord knows best how long you have stayed. فردوا العلم إلى المحيط علمه بكل شيء جملة وتفصيلا. So they returned the knowledge to the one who possesses all the knowledge in the details and in the general affairs. When they realized that they cannot on themselves find out the time, they said what everybody needs to say, Allahu A'lam. And this is what the Mufti, or this is what the student of knowledge, or this is what the da'iyah is supposed to do when he is asked a question that he does not know. If somebody asks you something you don't know, say Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best. This is a fatwa. This is correct. But to say something that you don't know, and some people get shy, so they say anything. They have no evidence, no hadith, no verse, no nothing. Yalla, whatever comes to mind, because they do not want to feel that they don't know something. No, there's nothing wrong. The principle is when you don't know something, you return the knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the scholars used to think that this is a fatwa. You've given somebody a fatwa, you said Allah knows best. Because you cannot know everything. And they say that a person became arrogant with his knowledge back in the days. And he was challenging the people, ask me anything in the deen. Ask me anything in Islam. I know it. They said, ya akhi, take it easy. You're not supposed to be like this. Allah says, وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You've only been given little knowledge. Abadan, ask me anything. They said, okay, what's the color of the dog of the people of the cave? He doesn't know. So he realized that he doesn't know. Who knows the color of the dog? Was he a black dog? White dog? Brown dog? You have a lot of knowledge. This simple question. The color of the dog. Give it to me. You don't. You can. Allah knows. Because Allah is the one who created this dog and He put him with these people. So we don't know. The idea here is for the person, they say he realized that he needs to take it easy because you don't know everything. And we cannot know everything. But we try our best to become more knowledgeable, and this is what is expected of each one of us. Then the Shaykh says, وَلَعَلَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَطْلَعَهُمْ عَلَى مُدَّةِ لَبْثِهِمْ لأنه بعثهم ليتساءلوا بينهم وأخبر أنهم تساءلوا وتكلموا بمبلغ ما عندهم وصار آخر أمرهم الاشتباه فلا بد أن يكون قد أخبرهم يقينا علمنا ذلك من حكمته في بعثهم وأنه لا يفعل ذلك عبثا ومن رحمته بمن طلب علم الحقيقة في الأمور المطلوب علمها وسعى لذلك ما أمكنه فإن الله يوضح له ذلك. Now listen to this. This is some istinbath. This is some deriving some wisdom or some facts from the tafsir based on the Shaykh's knowledge. He said, and perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this questioning between them, He informed them about the amount of time that they stayed. Perhaps, although there's no verse that indicates that, perhaps Allah informed them eventually about the time that they spent. He says, because Allah said that the reason why He made them wake from their sleep is for them to question one another. And indeed they did question one another. And they had an assumption about a day or part of the day. And the last thing that they came up with was that they were not sure. They were not sure about the time. He says, so it is inevitable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told them the amount of time by certainty. And we know this because we know Allah told us about the wisdom behind making them wake up. And we know that Allah does not do anything out of play. Yani if Allah said that He sent them forth so they could question one another. طيب, they all got up from the cave. How long did we stay? Wallah, a day, part of the day. And they had the issue. Allah resurrected them and made them wake up in order to have this question. Meaning it's inevitable that they're going to attain some sort of benefit. If there's no way Allah's going to resurrect them and just have them have a debate and wind up with absolutely no knowledge. You know what I'm saying? Because the sequence of events indicate that they must have been informed about the amount of time. And he said, in this is an indication about the mercy of Allah that whomever seeks knowledge, whomever seeks knowledge of the truth, طيب, and the things that you are supposed to be knowledgeable about, and you try your best in doing so, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will clarify for the person the truth. And this is important. Whenever we really want to know the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate for us that truth, if we are sincere in seeking it. Versus the person who does not want the truth because it goes against their desires. Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَعْثَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ حَصَلَ الْعِلْمُ بِحَالِهِمْ لَمْ يَكُونُوا دَلِيلًا عَلَى مَا ذُكِرَ ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَمَّا تَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ وَجَرَى مِنْهُمْ مَا أَخْبَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَرْسَلُوا أَحَدَهُمْ بِوَرِقِهِمْ أي بالدراهم التي كانت معهم ليشتري لهم طعاما يأكلونه من المدينة التي خرجوا منها وأمروه أن يتخير من الطعام أزكاه أي أطيبه وألذه وأن يتلطف في ذهابه وشرائه وإيابه وأن يختفي في ذلك ويخفي حال إخوانه ولا يشعرن بهم أحدا. Who can read the beginning of verse 19? No. The beginning of verse 20. وَكَذَلِكَ In English, of course. Yes, sir. No. The beginning. Oh, I'm sorry. 19, yes, sir. I'm sorry, Habibi. 19? Hey, I don't have the English one, that's why. Yes, because here they put the numbers with each other. I'm sorry. 19, I already told. Your boy. There's a verse that says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَعْثَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ
That's 21?
So we will continue. We will do that later. Here's what the Shaykh said. When they question one another, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, طيب, إنهم يظهروا عليكم يرجموكم. Okay, read what you were reading. 20.
Verse 20.
Yes, sir.
For if they come to know of you, they will stone you to death or abuse and harm you, or turn you back, turn you back to their religion. And in that case, you will never be successful.
Aywa. Jazakallahu khairan. The Shaykh said, what happened was, when they questioned one another, and that which Allah has informed us about took place, they sent one of them with some currency, some money. And they sent him to the Medina, so he could buy for them some food. And they commanded him to choose the best of food, meaning the most delicious and the most fresh. And to be gentle in the way he goes, and gentle in the way he buys, and gentle in the way he returns, and to be secretive, and all of that, and to conceal the condition of his brothers. Yani, don't tell the people about us being in the cave. And to make them, yani, so they will not be exposed. Because they still don't know, Allahu A'lam, at this time, how long they have stayed. So they're afraid that the people still want to kill them. That's why they said, that verily if the people see you, they will stone you to death, or they will force you to go back to the religion, yani they kill you, and you will never be successful afterwards. وَذَكَرُوا الْمَحْذُورُ مِنْ اِطْطُلَاعِ غَيْرِهِمْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَظُهُورِهِمْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنَّهُمْ بَيْنَ أَمْرَيْنِ إِمَّا الرَّجْمُ بِالْحِجَارَةِ فَيَقْتُلُونَهُمْ أَشْنَعُ وَقَتْلًا لِحَمْقِهِمْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَعَلَى دِينِهِمْ وَإِمَّا أَنْ يَفْتِنُوهُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِمْ وَيَرَدُّوهُمْ فِي مِلَّتِهِمْ وَفِي هَذِهِ الْحَالِ لَا يُفْلِحُونَ أَبَدًا بَلْ يَخْسَرُونَ فِي دِينِهِمْ وَدُنْيَاهُمْ وَأُخْرَاهُمْ وَقَدْ دَلَّتْ هَاتَانِ الْآيَتَانِ عَلَى عِدَّةِ فَوَائِدٍ. The Shaykh mentioned basically that they were in two choices, either that they will be stoned or that they will be brought back into the religion of their people, and both of them are ultimate loss. And actually the second one is worse than the first. Because if you are stoned to death while a believer, you're going to go to paradise. But if you go back into the religion of disbelief, you will have three losses. A loss in this dunya, a loss in your religion, and a loss in the hereafter. So dying while a believer is better than living while a disbeliever. Do you understand? Dying as a believer is better than living as a disbeliever.
Shaheed.
Necessarily, shaheed or otherwise. A martyr, aywa. Now the Shaykh said, these two verses have a number of benefits. That you can deduce a number of benefits from these two verses. منها الحث على العلم وعلى المباحة فيه ليكون لكون الله بعثهم لأجل ذلك. He said the first benefit we get from this verse is the virtue of seeking knowledge. The virtue of seeking knowledge and to discuss knowledge. To discuss the affairs of knowledge, because Allah had made them wake up for that particular reason. They wake up in order to discuss the knowledge of how long they stayed in the cave. Second, الأدب في من اشتبه عليه العلم أن يرده إلى علمه وأن يقف عند حده. The second benefit is the etiquette in terms of a person who knowledge does not become clear to him, that he returns it to the one who knows it, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he stops at his limits, he stops at his limitations, he does not transgress. وَمِنْهَا صِحَّةُ الْوَكَالَ فِي الْبَيْعِ وَالشِّرَاءِ وَصِحَّةُ الشَّرِكَ فِي ذَلِكَ. Allahu Akbar. Now look at the scholars, ya Shaykh. Look at the scholars when they understand the deen of Islam. They will see some things that me and you will never see. We will never see. He took from this verse the validity of wakala. And wakala is basically to hire someone. There's an indication that in Islam it's permissible to hire someone to do something on your behalf. Because these brothers gave him the money, said, go get us the food. So it is allowed in Islam to hire someone to do something on your behalf. You deduce this from this verse, mashallah, tabarakallah. And also the validity of having partnership, of coming into a business as partners. Because these brothers had a partnership with one another. They put the money together and they hired somebody to bring the food for them. And they are all partners in this particular transaction. So you deduce some economic rulings in Islam from a verse about the people in the cave. And what we will come to later, inshallah, will be astonishing. We're in the beginning. The Shaykh, may Allah have mercy on him, will mention at the end of the surah some of the benefits from this chapter. You will not believe what we will be reading. You will be shocked, inshallah, because everybody who I made read this was shocked. Things, ya akhi, we cannot think of. Somebody who is firm in knowledge, man. So firm a knowledge that they see things that not this, that different than the way we see them. And you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. بإذن الله عز وجل. Another benefit we deduce from this verse, جواز أكل الطيبات والمطاعم اللذيذة إذا لم تخرج إلى حد الإسراف المنهي عنه لقوله فلينظر أيها أسقى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه. وخصوصا إذا كان الإنسان لا يلائمه إلا ذلك. ولعل هذا عمدة كثير من المفسرين القائلين بأن هؤلاء أولادي ملوك لكونهم أمروه بأسقى الأطعمة التي جرت عدد الأغنياء الكبار بتناولها. Listen to this. He said, in this particular verse is the evidence for the permissibility of eating delicious food. Not any food. Not any food. Delicious food. Something that tastes good as long as it does not reach the level of extravagance. يعني where somebody spends every day 75 riyals on a steak. طيب. It's permissible to eat delicious food as long as you're not in conflict with overspending and wasting money. Otherwise, if the food is reasonable in price and it tastes good, nobody come and say, no, you should not enjoy food. You should only eat bad food because this dunya is very short and you're going to go to the hereafter and you shouldn't get attached to the dunya, so you eat lousy food. So somebody goes and finds an old piece of bread, he says, that's all I'm going to eat because I have zuhud. Yani I'm an ascetic. I'm not really concerned about this dunya. This is incorrect. Rather, from this verse, we understand that it's permissible to eat delicious food because they told one another. They gave him the money, said, go find us the best food, man. Go to the city, get us the best food you can get your hands on. So, this is an indication, he said, especially if this is not, if not eating good food is not suitable for the person. So some of us may be raised on eating food in Tamiz. And some of us may be raised on eating caviar. So a person who's been eating fancy food all his life cannot suddenly eat food in Tamiz every day. So these people are more worthy of eating fancy food because it doesn't suit them. Their body is not used to eating this kind of food. Of course, most of us prefer food in Tamiz over any other meal. Or maybe it's just me. Anyways, maybe people are tired of food in Tamiz. إذا كان الإنسان لا يلائمه ذلك ولعل هذه عمدة كثير من المفسرين. He said, perhaps this verse is the reason why many of the mufassirin, those who interpret the Quran, say that these people of the cave were the children of kings. They were not the average people, يعني the average brother from these children, these young men who ran away to the cave, they were all the children of kings. And the reason why is because they had requested for him to get the best kind of food. Because in their life, they were used to eating the best kind of food. So some of the scholars deduce this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, because this is what the rich people are used to knowing. Another benefit, الحث على التحرز والاستخفاء والبعد عن مواقع الفتن في الدين واستعمال الكتمان في ذلك على الإنسان وعلى إخوانه في الدين. Also among the benefits is encouraging doing things secretly. The encouragement of doing things secretly. Not everything, but the asl is that you do things secretly, not in front of everyone. Because there are people who have an eye like that, evil eye. They see something good on you, they will nail you with their hasad, with their envy. So that's why a person is supposed to handle his affairs on the down low. Yeah, if you have some project where you're going to build a big business and you may become very rich, you don't go tell everybody you see, oh, by the way, I have a million riyals. So you say this to 10 people, maybe one of them will, the next day you'll be on the street in the masjid asking people for money. Because some people have an evil eye and they do not want to see the bounty of Allah on anyone but themselves. If they see somebody with a bounty from Allah, they hate it. So how come he has it? I want it. So be careful of these individuals. Because they are present and you don't know who they are, the asl is that you do things on the down low. And this is what the Shaykh deduced from this verse, because this is how these people, these youth, handle their business. And for the person to be secretive in his affairs and to conceal the affairs of his Muslim brothers. Another benefit, شدة رغبة هؤلاء الفتية في الدين وفرارهم وفرارهم من كل فتنة في دينهم وتركهم أوطانهم في الله. Another benefit is the keenness, the extreme يعني keenness that these young men had in terms of protecting their religion. Anyways, let me just finish this point, Raghav Salam. In terms of protecting their religion, so much so that they actually abandoned their homes. They left their homes and they fled for the sake of Allah. Yani they were living in a place where they're not able to establish their religion, so they ran away to live among the Muslims, to be far away from fitna. And this is why the scholars also did deduce that it's upon every Muslim who live among the disbelievers to migrate to the land of Muslims. Anyways, we will continue inshallah ta'ala next week if we're all given the life endurance to do so. Otherwise, for those of you who keep coming late, I don't know what to tell you, man. But maybe on the Day of Judgment you will feel that maybe you should have come earlier. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.